So we're reading from John 13, verse 36 to 14:4. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is the word of the Lord. As you know, Joel's on sabbatical, and this month we're doing a series in John. We're thinking about a big question. Wouldn't it be better if Jesus hadn't left? Wouldn't it have been better if Jesus had never left? And last week we saw that Jesus had to leave, that he and his Father be glorified, that their glory, their majesty be revealed to all to see. Jesus had to leave by way of death, resurrection, and ascension, going up to heaven. Through this, he and his Father, our God, would be glorified, seen in all their majesty. The most wonderful God-revealing action was at the cross and Jesus' subsequent resurrection and ascension. Then saw how as Christians, now that Jesus has been revealed in all his glory, but we can be revealed as his disciples through loving each other. But sometimes we do wonder, maybe it would be better if Jesus was still here today, even though we saw that last week. In this section of John, Jesus is speaking of why it really does matter that he leaves. Our passage today shows us why, regarding us and our relationship with God, it's so much better that Jesus leaves. I'm not sure how you're feeling today. Often we come to church, we put on a face, we act as if it's all wonderful. People ask us, "How are you?" "I'm great. I'm fine." Maybe that's you. How are you actually feeling today? Are you weary? Are you tired at all? How's your Christian life going? Do you feel weak? Maybe there's sin that's overbearing you. Maybe you're struggling with one particular sin at the moment. It just keeps gnawing away at you, day after day. Maybe there's colleagues in your office or at your site or at school. Day after day, you intend to tell them about Jesus, but you cower behind excuses. Why can't I? Why am I so weak? Why am I so useless? Maybe you feel like that sometimes. I hope today, but if any of that resonates with you, that you would find comfort in what Jesus says and be renewed knowing just how wonderful he is. So last week we saw that Jesus is leaving, chapter 13, verse 33, if you look down with me. "And my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." So he said this to the Jews earlier on in John, but he's going and he's reminding the disciples of what he said so that he can explain what's going to happen now that he's going. Last week we saw that Jesus gave them a new commandment. Love each other as he's loved them. That's how Christians be known as his people. But as is common in John, the disciples just don't get it. They don't get that Jesus has to leave. So helpfully for us, in our Bibles, Peter asks a question. Verse 36. "Lord, where are you going?" I mean, likely it would be quite shocking, really. Peter and his disciples, they've followed this man for a long time now. They've seen him do wonderful things. They've given up everything for him. They left their job. He's taught them wonderful things. Now he's going. It must be quite hard for them. It must be a hard thing. Imagine you have a friend who's so great, doing great things, and then one day he just says, "See you later. I've got to go. You're not going to see me again." All that time they spent with Jesus, now he's going. It's hard when someone goes. And we can imagine how the disciples, Peter speaking on behalf of them, how they must have felt. But this isn't like any human leaving. Verse 36 continues. Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And this is our first point today, if you ever want to take down points. Only Jesus can lay down his life for his people. Only Jesus can lay down his life for his people. I don't know if you guys know, but there are a number of people in all rooms who can do certain things that others can't. Put your hand up if you can run 100 meters fast. If you can write, there's one hand there. If you can run it faster than Usain Bolt. I don't know, I've got my hand up. There's Femi's not here. I don't think Femi's here today. Femi, he flies aeroplanes. I don't know if anyone else can do that here. If there was a serious medical issue, there's probably only one or two people in here who could actually deal with it. there's lots of things that only certain people can do. Only certain people can do certain things. If we was in the aeroplane and it was going to crash land, we'd want Femi there, not any of you, really. No offense. And in our passage today, we see that only Jesus can do what must be done, lay down his life to prepare a place for us with the Father. I'm sure many of you have seen Marvel movies. It's hard to miss them nowadays. It's quite a big thing if you haven't heard of it. And at the end of this thing called Phase 3 in 2019, so 3 years ago, a long time ago now, all the superheroes face this big bad guy. It's the big end to 10 years of films. They face this guy who's the worst. And while the heroes could see into the future, and there was one chance in millions that they win, and it was by this one hero doing one thing. It has to be him. It always had to be him. It couldn't be anyone else. So Iron Man, sorry for the spoiler if you haven't seen it, but Iron Man had to give up his life and that they would beat the bad guy. And it's quite clear in this story, as we're reading it now, but Jesus is the only one who can lay down his life for his people. So Jesus says, verse 36, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter says, "This cannot be true. No, this can't be the case. This is Jesus. Peter can't accept it. Jesus can't leave." Peter's having none of it. Verse 37, Peter asks, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Peter's whole life has been changed by this man. All of the disciples, they've followed Jesus. And what they've seen, what they've heard, it's eclipsed anything they've seen or done. Now he's going. Jesus is going. This wonderful man, he's leaving them. Peter says, "Why go? You have people like me around, people who would do anything for you. Why can I not come? I would do even the greatest thing for you. I would lay down my life for you." "I can come with you," Peter declares. "I can come because I would die for you." What a great guy. Come on, Jesus. Why would you leave people who are like that? Why would he leave if people are willing to sacrifice for him? Well, the truth is, they're not. We see this in Jesus' answer. Verse 38. Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. No, he won't. All the bravado of saying it, declaring it in front of them. The truth is, Peter won't even say the words, "I follow Jesus," when the time comes. Jesus calls him out. Peter won't die for Jesus. Peter won't even speak for Jesus. 3 times in the gospel later on, if you read John chapter 18, 19 and 20, he will deny him 3 times. But I don't think John's included this, Peter rejecting Jesus here, to show that Peter is rubbish. That may be true. I don't think it's here to show us that Jesus can predict the future, albeit that is true. It's here to show that even Peter wouldn't do what Jesus would do for his people. He thinks he will follow. He thinks he will lay down his life, but he's not willing to do what Jesus will do. Only Jesus will lay down his life in the way that's needed. Peter not being willing is highlighting the fact that Jesus alone will be the one who dies for his people. Peter can't follow because he doesn't understand what Jesus is doing. He's the one who allows us to follow afterwards. Only he would do it for his people. It must be him, no one else. Now, this is not saying that he must die before all other people if they're going to be with God. We know lots of faithful servants of God from the Old Testament that died before Jesus in history. But it's through his sacrificial death that the way forward is made. It isn't speaking about the order in which people go. It's saying that he is the one who causes it to happen through his sacrificial death. No one else does it. What he does leads the way. No perfect man is willing to die on behalf or of a people who run away when asked about him. Only he does. Here's a clear example of why Jesus must go. Maybe we sometimes think we're people who would do enough for Jesus. Maybe sometimes we feel like people that if Jesus was here, he wouldn't need to leave. Maybe we'd be like Peter. Now, I doubt you think that very specific thought. That would be quite quirky. I really do doubt that. But however, when we feel as if we're doing so well and we deserve the glory, we deserve the praise and not Jesus for the good things he does. Or we think we deserve the praise for our ministry or lives as Christians. Then we're acting a bit like Peter, not understanding that Jesus is the only one who does what needs to be done. I often, when I speak to people about Jesus, I forget to pray. I think I'm going to tell this person about Jesus. Let me try and have a conversation with them. Let me try and say the right things. Sometimes in battles with sin, I think I'm going to stop doing this. I'm not going to do this. I very often forget to turn to the one who can help me. I often forget to pray for God in my battles with things. Maybe that's you. Let's look to him. He's the one who does it all. Maybe you're like Peter in a way where you think you can achieve what Jesus does. Maybe you think you're good enough to attain eternal life with God. Maybe you think you have a relationship with Jesus because you're good. If Jesus wasn't here, you'd still have a relationship with God. And frankly, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus' words here make it clear that he is the only way. I need to trust completely in him. Only he can lay down his life for his people. Every time that someone comes to faith, it's ultimately through the risen and ascended Lord Jesus. Every good thing in ministry is because of him. Let's be reminding ourselves of that every day. Jesus must die for his people. It's the only way we can follow. And this leads to our second point today. One who prepares life with God. Jesus is the one who prepares life with God. I'm just going to have a drink of water. So Peter's not got a clue. He's not Jesus. He wouldn't do what Jesus would do. But Jesus loves them. Jesus loves Peter. He wants to comfort him. You'd think after just hearing these words of Jesus saying, "You're going to reject me," and that he would be annoyed or he's going to say something bad about Peter. But he goes straight to saying how much he wants to comfort them. He wants them to see what a wonderful thing it is that he must leave. Jesus says, chapter 4, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." When he says, "believe in God, believe also in me," he's not saying he is not God. He's saying, "believe in God, my Father. Believe in me, God the Son. Believe what I will do and who I am." But what does he care most about? Comforting them. He's just revealed that his lead disciple, Peter, is going to betray him. Yet the wonderful Jesus, he desires to comfort them. "Don't be troubled. This is a good thing. Trust me. Trust God, my Father and I are doing what's best. This is what's needed." Verse 2, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Come on, I've told you this. I'm the one who needs to go, Jesus is saying, so that I can prepare a place for you. You. I'm going that you may have a place with my Father. It's for you. All of us sitting here today, without Jesus, are destined for hell. Gehenna, the Bible calls it, a place of gnashing of teeth, eternal fire, where we're separated from God. Jesus must be the one who goes, as he's the only one who can prepare a place, not in Gehenna, in hell, but with God the Father. Only Jesus can prepare life with God. If someone were to say, why do I need Jesus? It's shown here. It's because no one else does what he does. No one else can do what he's done. Imagine as a toddler, or you said to your parent or guardian, why do I need you? Because they're the only one who can prepare your food or room or whatever it might be. But this is a spot in glorious, wonderful life with God. That's what Jesus is preparing, not food or your beds. When you book a hotel, you check in at a certain time, say 2 o'clock. It's because those working there, the maids, the cleaners, they're preparing the room. It has to be done so that the room's ready for you. And Jesus is preparing a place for Christians, but not a hotel room. He's no maid. He's preparing a place with the Father for you. You, can you believe that? Little old you. You, 1 in 8 billion people. Jesus is preparing a place for you, if you accept him as Lord and King. He died, but you may have a place. In the old King James Version, it uses, in my Father's house are many mansions. It isn't a great translation, as it makes it, you think of properties too much, but actually the grandeur of it, a mansion actually captures how, a bit closer to how wonderful it would be. But life with God, that's what matters. Jesus must leave, let that place be prepared. Now, I actually think this passage is speaking about now and the future. I think it's speaking about starting now. Jesus, he dies, he rose from the dead, he ascends to heaven, that there may be a place with the Father now. Last week, we saw that Jesus glorified his Father through his death, resurrection, raising from the dead, and ascension, going up to heaven. I think this whole section, chapter 13 to 17, is governed by that. So that this whole section of John is thinking about life when Jesus has left. So he wants to comfort them now. And we'll see next week and the week after what life is like with the Spirit. It's once Jesus has ascended. It's already happened. In verse 2, it says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? The place and home here are actually the same Greek word. So this whole section seems to be about when Jesus is leaving. What life will be like today, not just the future. So what a wonderful comfort that in some way we have a place with the Father today. And possibly, I'm not completely sure how, we are in spirit with the Father today. This is what he's going to prepare for life with our Father. Isn't it just wonderful? A place with the Father for you and you and you if you trust in the Lord Jesus. Imagine Jesus did stay and they had a few more years of miracles and he did some great speeches. He fed a load more people, but decided he would not prepare the way. Imagine he decided not to prepare the place with the Father. Ultimately, it would be for nothing. Even the people he cured would eventually die. If Jesus was here today and decided not to go to a sacrificial death, it's a silly thought because Jesus would always do what he said he would do. But let us just imagine he was here and he decided to help with some hunger issues, some cancer patients, etc. And a few less people died. Maybe you think like that sometimes. If Jesus was here, he could have saved my friend, my mum, my dad. If Jesus was here, he could heal everyone at Queen's Hospital. If Jesus was here, he could feed those who use food banks. I've heard people say before, if Jesus really cared, why isn't he sorting things out? Maybe you think those things sometimes. Now, I'm not here to answer why there is suffering in the world. But maybe you think sometimes, if Jesus was here, this or that could be sorted.
Well, the truth is, if Jesus was here and never prepared a place, then here, this world, would be the best we'll get. Because if a place isn't prepared, then the place we'll be going won't be anything like this. It'll be far worse for us than anything that happens here. You know what would ultimately happen? We would die anyway. But there would be no chance at all of life with God. That's why he had to go. That's why he had to go and prepare a place where there'll be no suffering or pain or death. If Jesus hadn't gone, there would be no hope at all. But there is, because our Lord Jesus has gone forth. What a wonderful comfort that as you suffer, as you reel the pain of loss, you know your King, the Lord Jesus, is preparing a place for you. He's done that through his death and resurrection. And now he sits there with a spot next to him that says your name. Find comfort, brothers and sisters, that if you call Jesus Lord and love him and serve him as Lord, then going alone to death, he alone, that's what led the way for people like us to join him with his Father in a place set for us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said this to Peter, the one who would let him down multiple times. It would be easy to read this passage and think, don't be like Peter. Naughty, naughty people. Don't be like that. But Jesus doesn't do that. He wants to comfort them. He doesn't want to call you naughty, naughty. Maybe you're someone who's struggling at the moment. Maybe sin feels overwhelming. Maybe you feel really weak, useless, not good enough. And to be honest, it's true. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You are sinful. But you have a mighty, mighty Saviour. Someone who is willing to go forth into death undeservedly for you. For you, it's just incredible. You don't need to be troubled. You don't need to fret. There's no need to worry. Last night we had the evangelistic event in Cross Keys with Simon Pinchbeck. He said that he had never known peace in the way he did until he knew the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus has led the way. There will be no need to worry when the perfect sinless Saviour has led the way in all that we need worry about. I read a quote somewhere, "My faith rests not in what I am, or shall be, or feel, or know, but in what Christ is, in what he has done, and what he is doing for me." Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Hold on to him, friends.